Volare, oh, cantare, oh, let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind.
You're listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coasters.
Blah, 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 blah.
Welcome.
And you're on.
Hello. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer, but not this week. From coast to coast and every once in a while in between. I'm your host this week. I'm Mike from Boston, but we're coming to you from Italy, folks.
Hey!
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, you know, wait a minute. No, you got to be like an Italian!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not the New York.
Not the Tony Leone episode.
This is our world tour. This is the Italian edition.
Buongiorno, principessa! Look at this. It just falls down from the sky. I don't know. You know, people are like throwing it out the window.
Pizza, salami.
A mozzarella, eh?
Yeah. All right.
Cappuccino. So
we do have a few interesting Italian craft beers this week. We don't have any fermentation conversation beer, but we do have a few tasting flights. I'm going to try the Baladins Super. I don't know if you can see that.
Nice.
Hey. Yeah, very tiny little bottle. It's only like, I don't know, 10 ounces or something ridiculous like that. And then later on in the show, I'm going to do a little bonus track of the Del Borgo Etrusca. That was the, we did the collaboration from Dogfish Head on our Honey Honey episode. And this is the Italian brewery's version of that beer. So I'm going to try that as well. How about you guys?
Sneaky,
what are you guys
going to
try?
Sneaky.
Well, I'm going to be trying the Birra Moretti La Rossa. This, yeah.
It's very nice.
And I'm going to try Birra Amacords Bionda.
Cool, man. There you go. Well, guess what? I know that I'm hosting the show, and traditionally, if we host a show...
You drink last.
We drink last, but... I get to drink first and last this week. That's how cool I am.
Right. Well, hurry
because
up. Get to it.
Mike has been bitching for so long that he doesn't like doing the hosting the show.
Now I'm bitching.
So so we said, "All right, fine, Mike. Next time you host the show, you'll get to drink two beers and you get to drink first."
Yeah, that's exactly.
So back east, that's exactly how Mike drinking down. Beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, like I mentioned, I'm going to try...
It was more like sniffle, sniffle, weep, weep, cry,
yeah.
cry.
Yeah.
Please, guys,
please,
let me
guys,
do two
please,
beers.
Please, please, can I please?
I hate hosting the show.
This is the Baladin Super. This is
Super
Baladin Brewery. I don't know where in Italy they are from. I should know this stuff.
I should say right on the bottle, right?
Yeah, brewed and bottled sure, and... I can't read Italian. Let's see.
It's from Italy.
Yeah, it's from Italy.
It's Italy.
Yeah. Piozzo? Piozzo, Italy?
Piozzo.
Sounds good enough. The alcohol content, because they don't list it as ABV, I guess, is 8%. The IBUs are 17. I'm going to crack it. And like I said, this is a tiny, tiny little bottle. Oh, and it's
oh wow! Is it me, or do all Italian beers like that are not like...
are all premature?
Mega beers. Well, no, but like they have that weird shape to the bottom. Like they're bigger at the bottom, and then they...
Yeah, they all got that belt style. Yeah. So this, I guess, is listed as a Belgian strong, or a Belgian strong pale. I don't know. I guess we'll see how that is. It pours a copper color. Looks darker on screen here.
It's a pure malt beer, according to their... Super shows up in a couple different places. It shows up at our malty beers and pure... our hoppy beers and pure malt beers.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, that's the super and the super bitter. Which one do you have?
I have the... just the super.
Just the super. Okay, then that's one of their pure malt beers.
Kind of cloudy. Almost looks like an apple cider. I see little particulates kind of floating around everywhere, but they're very, very small. They had some extra ingredients in here, too, I think. This is supposed to be kind of in a Belgian Abbey style.
Yeah.
It smells... It smells super fruity. You can smell that Belgian yeastiness in there. What's that stuff? It's like dried fruit and almonds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it smells good. So there's a lot going on here. I should probably be describing it better.
Well, what does it taste like?
It's all right. It's your first of two tonight. So you make up for it on the second one.
There's some spiciness in there. There's some raisins in there. Got some of that, like a dried fruit flavor to it. And it's got an interesting malt character on the tongue. You could tell it's 8%, though, you know? I mean, you take a sip and you know, okay, this has got some alcohol in it. There's not real alcohol warming going on, but you could tell, like, all right, this is not a 5 or 6%, you know? A little bit of brown sugariness in there. It's kind of subtle, like, it's... there's subtle flavors will go back and forth. Like I'm getting some of the, the darker fruits, and then maybe some kind of a little bit of nuttiness. It's not that dry. It hangs out. You know, that those flavors on the tongue just kind of hang out there. That Belgian yeast. It's interesting though, because it feels like a much bigger beer, but yet it's more drinkable than, you know, if you have like a Belgian strong or barley wine, that kind of thing. It's like you feel like, oh, it's a sipper, and you gotta kind of take it easy on it. This has the feeling like it's really big, but yet you feel like you can just keep drinking it. It's kind of strange. If I'm gonna pair something with this beer, I actually want like some kind of roasted. Maybe like a pork roast or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pork roast. Man, there is a lot going on. I know I'm not doing a very good job of describing it, but it's fairly complex for being as drinkable as it is. Man, this stuff is leaking everywhere. Untapped comes in at
3.66 out of 1,923 ratings.
There you go.
Top three places to drink it are the Taverna di Bacco, Bar de Carmine, and List. And one place in Orlando, Florida.
Wow. The Beer Advocate users rate this an 86, which is very good.
Sweet.
If you get a chance, check this out. I mean, I don't know if you can find this at your local craft beer shop, but it's interesting. And I hope that if you do pick this up and try it, you'll kind of understand why I couldn't quite describe it as well as I probably should have. But it's got some interesting flavors.
Gemini Lounge. So.
We'll be back.
A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes. It's Gemini Lounge.
Time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Watch out now, baby bubba.
Well, hello, beer coasters. This is a Crazy Dave coming to you from Temecula, California. I'm sounding more like Transylvania than I am Italian, right? Well, this week I'm going to be drinking La Rosa from Birra Moretti. They come from the Udine region of Italy in the Friuli region. Anyhow, this, I'm guessing by the name, is a red or something or other, but yeah. It looks like, according to their website too, it's a double malt beer using 100% high quality barley malt. So whatever malt that is, apparently there's a 100% high quality.
Yeah. Yep.
That's nothing. Yeah. It's not the cheap
stuff.
And
there's such thing as Rocky Mountain cold.
Yeah. And free range coastal water. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow, with that being said, I'm gonna bust this open.
And the yeast of the Pac-Man.
Alcohol content on this, by the way, is 7.2% ABV. And wow, it's a red. It's got a dark amber color, decent amount of carbonation with a nice, you know, full Yeti finger ahead on there.
It's bellissimo.
Unfortunately, it's got a lagery kind of smell to it. It's got that skunky kind of a smell.
Dave, can I tell you my been there story?
Lagery kind of taste too.
What, Toby?
Can I tell you my been there story?
You've been to the Birra Moretti?
No, but what it reminds me of is when I was in Italy in 98, I remember going to this little liquor store. I was waiting for my ship to go over to Greece. I was in this little port town, and we were waiting for our ship. We had a few hours to kill, so I went into this liquor store, and I bought a big bottle of Birra Moretti. It was probably like a 22-ounce or something like that. It's a pretty big bottle, and I took it out and sat on, like, right near the water in the, like, you know, near the dry docks and stuff. Damn. Sat in there just drinking Birra Moretti out of the bottle, waiting for
getting
my
faded
ship.
Waiting for your boat.
Yeah.
Damn.
But it wasn't the La Rosa, it was the regular one.
The lager?
Yeah, the OG one, yeah.
Alright, well,
OG. Well, do they call it that in Italy? Yeah, this is the OG. This is the OG.
Well, let me take a sip of this. It's an interesting taste. I mean, it's definitely got a bit of maltiness, but it still's got that funky lager taste to it.
Doesn't have a double 100% maltiness?
No, yeah, it totally does. Like, they definitely, you know, I would probably even go so far as to say they made it 200%.
Whoa.
Wow. Mm.
It's a malt bomb.
Because it does have quite a bit of maltiness to it, which is kind of nice. It adds a little bit of sweetness to it. And it kind of lingers for a minute, you know? Wow. Mike, you really had me, you know, disappointed in trying this, but it turned out to be better than I thought.
Yeah. I don't know if I've had that Rosa one. I think I've had the other one.
I'm actually starting to enjoy this now. Yeah. You know, and I'm just going to jump right into my food pairings. A red tomato sauce is going to go with this. Hands down. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And I'm thinking not meat, but either like a red sauce with fish, one of my favorite dishes is frutta di mare, and you can mix that with, you make that like with a red sauce, and they have, there'll be like shrimp and mussels and clams and, you know, whatever, and you know, calamari and whatnot. That or a vegetable lasagna with red sauce. So those are my food pairings for this. I think those are both gonna just take the cake with that.
Gina's grandma used to make these. She'd have like a big pot of crab legs and shrimp, and I think that was mostly like crab legs and shrimp, and it was in this like red sauce, this tomato sauce, and it was, oh dude, it was so good whenever they would do crab leg night. So it's cool because it was like all in this one big pot, and they just, you know, pour it out on a big platter, and you just grab your crab legs and your shrimp, and
shrimp.
It was good.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Wow. You know, and I can even do Crazy Dave instant pairing right now because I do have some lasagna in the fridge.
How convenient!
Oh my God, dude.
No, we did.
See, he knew the show was coming up, and so he's like,
I need to make lasagna the night before.
He probably went and got some Stouffer's or something.
Stouffer's
TV dinner, and he's gonna throw it in the microwave real quick. But yeah, he probably does. He probably plans it out like that, so he's got leftovers. Yeah. He's a cheater.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Tonight I got the lasagna.
From a Russell Stouffer.
It's actually from the Costco.
Costco.
La Costa. Not the Costa Concordia.
No?
What? Conquistadors?
No, that's banned.
The Corsican Brothers?
The Corsican. He's just going to sit there and eat.
Slow down there.
So yeah. Is it a good pairing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There you have it.
If I would have known, I would have had this with dinner. But I only got one of them, so I had to wait for the show. So there you go. Crazy Dave, hashtag instant pairing.
And it's just a regular cheese lasagna? Or
No, it's vegetable lasagna. Oh, so vegetable. There's broccoli and spinach and...
What's up with you today and the no meat up in there?
Huh? No, I said it would go good with fish and a red sauce.
I know, but you maybe nothing. That was the first thing you said about, I want the red sauce and the meat.
But no meat.
And then you come out with a vegetable lasagna.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm just saying, man, because it's not...
A pork roast. I didn't even pair mine with any vegetables. I just said pork roast. I didn't even give myself any sides.
Just the character of this beer just seems a little delicate for the meats, and that's why I think the vegetables or the fish would be better, you know, or the crustaceans or the, you know, whatever the fruit de mar brings you, you know, but not a big hunk of veal, you know, big mollusks. Chunk of veal or beef or, you know,
all right,
steak or something.
The Beer Advocate users rate this an 83, which is good.
And the Untappd ratings come in at 3.29 out of 9,550 ratings. All right, folks.
Three places to drink it?
Yeah.
You got that?
Oh, yeah. That's Domenico's in Long Beach, California, Garobaba's Italian Grill in Columbia, South Carolina, and Italy Pavilion in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Yeah, also, their webs...
That's like 2 weeks in a row Lake Buena Vista came up as one of the top three.
Looks like we're going to have to move there.
Yeah,
well, it's probably
I'm gonna have to change my
Disney
life
or something.
It could be.
It's at the Disney park.
This is one of the beers at Epcot you could drink around the world. There,
it's one of the world places. At Epcot. Yeah, they got tons of Birra Moretti down there in the little Italy section.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Birra Moretti, the website is www.birramoretti.com. Birramoretti.com.
Dave, speaking of the Epcot, when we went, did we have a beer at every single country? Because I know that was our goal.
No, I think we got pretty tore up, though. Because I remember drinking at Germany. I remember having margaritas at Mexico. Yeah. And we had a sake at Japan. And we had wine. No, we had wine in Italy. I think we had wine in Italy and France. But yeah, we got like halfway around the world, I think. We did have beer, though, at the English place, because I remember having like fish English and chips pub. And beer.
Yeah. And then there was Canada after that, and I don't know if we drank
I think we had beer there. Damn, I guess we did drink at more places than I thought we did. I seriously want to go back and just do that again. Drink around the world. I mean, it's expensive because it's in the park and everything, but...
Right.
You know, it's always awesome to get effed up at Disney. So.
Yep. You heard it here first, folks.
It's always fun to get effed up at Disney.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas' premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles. You can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Buongiorno, principessa.
Okay.
Maria la chiave.
So I am drinking the... Well, it's AMA is what it says in the bottle. AMA Bionda. It's
American
Bira.
Music Awards? They make beer?
Yeah. It's Amacord Brewing. And it says on the bottle, Birra Artigianale da Tavola. So it's artisan something beer. It's brewed by Amacord in Apecchio, Italy. And this is brewed with honey, and it is a... I believe it's a Belgian blonde.
Okay.
What's with the Italians and their Belgian beers? It's interesting, because a lot of Italian beers that I've had from craft breweries have been Italian style.
Well, they're not that far away.
I mean, sorry, Belgian style. But yeah, it's just interesting to me.
Well, they do... I've seen a lot of blonde. They do Belgian blonde. They'll do blonde ales.
You don't see too many blondes in Italy, though, do you?
Maybe that's why they brew the beer is blondes.
Yeah. So it's in one of those funky, you know, wine
Italian
bottle
type style.
Yeah, it's the very.
That's not even a wine bottle style. I mean, that's like not even. It's like an elongated Burgundy bottle. I mean, it's strange.
The neck of it is very long, and the base of it is a little bit bigger than your typical wine bottle, but it's a 1 pint 9.4 ounces. So, I think that's a 750. I'm not sure, but it looks like it's a 750. Anyway, I'm going to crack it. The only ingredients they give on the website is that it's brewed with Sicilian orange honey blossom. Woo!
Do they mention anything on their website about the Brooklyn Brewery?
Well, Brooklyn Brewery's website says something about that beer.
Yeah.
Not in the description of this beer. They don't mention Brooklyn Brewing. Oh, the percentage, the ABV in this is 6%. No IBUs listed. The color is very golden in color. Kind of like an orangish golden color. Pretty clear. I've got about a little bit bigger than a human finger of head. Very fluffy white head. And a little bit of carbonation coming up inside the glass, but yeah, nice golden color. It's very, very pretty. On the nose. There's that Belgian. Yeah, very citrusy. There's like a orange peel. Grassy, banana, clove, a little bit of that bubblegumminess. Yeah, and that's it. But yeah, we can definitely get that kind of Belgian-y, sticky, yeastiness on the nose. Smells great. I mean, it just smells straight up Belgian, you know?
Yeah.
Straight up Belgian.
Straight up. All right.
Taking a sip, yeah!
The mouthfeel starts off really lively and very sharp. Then it turns into, like, it dries up, and then there's this kind of lemongrass thing, and a little bit of that clove, and a little bit of the banana in there.
Sounds more like a saison or something, huh?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's
saison
very, very clean. I mean, the aftertaste is very dry, and the stuff kind of hangs out for a little bit, but it's very dry and subtle and laid back. Hmm. It's pretty refreshing. I'm gonna say it's almost too laid back. I mean, it's got some good flavors. Now I'm starting to get some of the citrusiness, some sort of like orange or tangerine or something. Not a super, super sweet orange, but yeah, very like light orange. The nose is really nice. When I go back in for another sip, the nose is just nice and citrusy and even floral. And you get the cloves still in there. Very nice. It seems very delicate. It reminds me of, and I've had one beer from, actually I've had two beers from Pretty Things. And that's one thing I know that Mike always says about their beers, about how delicate they are and laid back and subtle and stuff. They have good flavors, but they're not too in your face. They're very delicate. That's how this one is, big time.
Yeah.
I mean, that first sip, it was nice and sharp, and it kind of, you know, took over. But then now that I've my palate is kind of getting used to this beer, it's totally like drinkable and very, very light. It's pretty nice for a food pairing. I mean, you got to stick with something light. I mean, this would be good at like a brunch or something, or yeah, maybe like the little.
You're not pairing this with Eggs Benedict, are you?
No, I wouldn't go with any kind of anything with egg yolks or something that rich, because the sauce, the hollandaise,
rich.
Yeah, the hollandaise is too rich for this. But I would say like a
cream cheese.
Yeah, or those little like finger sandwiches that you have at like tea time or whatever.
That's not breakfast.
Or, well, no, I'd like brunch or whatever, you know.
I wasn't aware that you partook in tea time.
Toby does have two little daughters, you know. So.
I worked at a place that had tea time every, I think it was Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, at the hotel downtown.
Oh, my gosh.
In the lobby, they would have tea time, and so afterwards, I would always take the leftovers, you know, these little finger sandwiches.
I remember going to a hotel in Vegas that they had, like, happy hour and snacks every day.
Yeah.
And we had, like, it was a special room. You had to have, like, the concierge level room to get, like, the snacks and drinks at happy hour. And, of course, like, you know, we would roll ghetto style. One of us would get the room on that floor, and everyone else would stay on a lower floor. And we would just bring everyone in through the door. And then one of my friends, like, and the bottles had like the little shot stoppers. You could only pour one shot at a time. And my friend is shaking the bottle upside down and trying to pour more alcohol. I was like, man, this thing's broken. And we're like, dude, seriously? It's a one shot regulator thing. You gotta pour one shot at a time. Well, I don't want one shot. I'm like, well, just pour a shot, put it back, pour a shot, put it back. So, but anyhow, they had little appetizers and stuff.
You got tore up off of Bloody Marys there, man.
Yeah. And in the morning, they had breakfast. They had, you know, bagels and coffee and, you know, I don't think they had finger sandwiches or nothing.
Dave, you said cream cheese, and I think that there's these, it's like a, what is it? It's like ham or something, and you roll it in cream, like you have cream cheese in the middle, and you roll it. Maybe
do you mean
like
bacon?
Or there's, like, olives or something inside of it. But, like, little rolled up things of cream cheese and ham or maybe bacon or, not turkey, but something like that.
Yeah, some sort of meat.
Or, like,
meat.
Prosciutto or something, you know. Yeah. I could see this going good with something like that. Like, just little appetizers, finger foods, you know, little snacky
things. It's a cocktail
things.
Hour beer.
Yeah, or all right. Or for brunch.
Or brunch.
But no Eggs Benedict.
But no Eggs Benedict.
Not pancakes with blueberries and syrup.
No. Yeah.
That sounds
so
good.
There you
I
go.
Could go for that right now. For like a late night
pancakes
snack.
Pancakes with blueberry syrup?
Not with blueberry syrup, but blueberry pancakes maybe.
So this is the Bionda from Amacord Brewing out of, where did I say they were from?
Somewhere in Italy.
Apeccio, Italiano.
All right.
Amacord Brewing.
Beer Advocate users rate this an 83, which is good.
And Untappd has this at a 3.55.
Yeah.
Out of 1,542 ratings, and the top three places to drink this is the, let's see, the Bocce Bar in Miami, Florida.
Bocce Bar!
So you can go play bocce ball and drink. That's pretty cool. In Miami, Florida.
And do they speak bocce there?
Well, I'm fluent in over 6,000 languages.
And the Restaurang Lingon in Uppsala, Leon. I don't know where that is. And the Hope Garage in Brooklyn, New York.
There you go.
All right, cool stuff.
And we'll be back right after this. Paisano. You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untappd, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one. Bonus track, Mike.
Yeah. So, the beer I'm going to be trying is from Birra del Borgo, and their website is birradelborgo.it.
So they're really Italian.
Yes. Now,
no joke.
This is part of the Ancient Ale series from Dogfish Head, and this is Birra del Borgo's version of the Birra Etrusca, or the Etruscan beer. And the different ingredients they used in this beer, it's all the same stuff. So it's the hazelnut, pomegranates, the natural resins, honey. This beer is 9.3%, and it's just kind of labeled as an ancient ale. And I'm gonna crack it. This is what it looks like,
an
by the
ancient
way.
Ancient ale theorists believe.
It's another. It's
ooh, I like that label better than the.
That's a badass label.
Than the.
I bought
Dogfish
that beer
one.
Just for the label.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it really looks like a little archaeological.
Some sort of cave here. Drawing.
It's got a little Dogfish Head logo up there. Look, you can see. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, a little fish.
Yeah.
A little shark.
It's not a fish. It's a shark.
It's a shack.
Dogfish.
So. These guys, I guess they're, I don't know, I know I'm going to pronounce this horribly wrong.
Come on.
But it's the,
come on, Mike, you can
the
do it.
Borgarose?
Yeah, there you Italy. Go.
Sure. It's from Etrusca. All right, I'm going to crack it. Hopefully it won't explode everywhere. This is also a very small bottle. It's like the, I think it's just slightly larger than the other beer. Like maybe 11 ounces or something.
Yeah, these are the guys that do the Duchessa beer.
Duchessa. Yeah. Did you guys ever drink that, Toby, or is that
yeah.
still...
Yeah,
how was
we
that?
Did. It's good.
Yeah.
The Duchess
approved.
It was a Belgian style. I can actually get that one here in Vegas, but I have to go all the way across town to Corey's. Shout out to Corey's Fine Wines. They carry a lot of these guys, the Del Borgo guys. But yeah, the Duchessa, that one was good, and it's like it's brewed with something weird, like some sort of a like coriander or something like that, or some sort of flower. I forget.
Some kind of flower.
These are also the guys that do My Antonia, the other Dogfish collaboration.
Oh, okay. I mean, so they were good enough to go back to, I guess.
Yeah.
So, very similar in color to my previous beer. A little bit lighter, but has the same kind of cloudy apple cider type haziness. Just this one looks a little bit lighter. You can see that there. It's actually quite a bit lighter than it looks right now on screen. The head dissipated really quickly. There's a lot of carbonation in this beer. On the nose, smells a whole heck of a lot like the Dogfish head.
That, I should have done this side by side.
I know, I wish I could have done this side by side. That's what I should have done is when we did the Honey Honey show, that's when I should have done this bonus tasting.
Yeah.
So I would have something to refer to, and then we could just throw it on this show. Hindsight. 2020. Yep. It's got that same kind of sour citrusiness, but there's that like a funky, moldy orange. I mean, it smells like it's going to be tart. Orange peel, some maybe some honeycomb raisins.
Honeycomb.
Take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah.
It's tart.
Maybe you should have drank it with our sour show.
It's nice and tart. It's got the pomegranates is, I think, what's given all that tartness. And then I'm sure they use some kind of crazy wild stuff to get the sourness kicking in. The funk.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought the Italians bringing in the funk?
Yeah, they do say on their website that this is made in very limited quantities. So
yeah, it's very limited. Say if you're lucky enough to get one, it's like being able to take a sip of history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, history is sour. I'm enjoying the sourness. I guess I wasn't expecting it. Do you guys remember the Dogfish head being?
No.
I didn't
drink sour. I don't remember you saying anything about sour.
Huh.
Oh, wait, no, we all had it. No, I had it, that's right. I don't remember it being sour. Jeez.
Man, I have to go back and listen to the show to see what I
thought of that beer.
Pretty
memorable beer, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of, now that it's a little bit warmer, believe it or not, it's that Granny Smith apple. I mean, I'm salivating. Just taking a sip, like, I'm feeling it. Starting to salivate.
Yeah, no, the Dogfish version was not sour at all.
I guess it just shows that if you go to try something, try it in both places that they got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't even know what direction to head with food on this thing.
You need to tame that sourness?
I'm gonna go with some kind of Italian dessert. Maybe a cannoli. Some really kind of creamy, sweet. Have you ever had the cannolis with it that maybe have a little like fruit instead of chocolate?
Mm-mm.
Something like that would be.
That sounds more like a crepe.
No, because the.
Is it still like hard, like the?
Yeah, it's still got the hard,
crunchy like cookie hard, kind crunchy of style. Shell there. Yeah.
But I kind of want to go with a dessert here. I got so much sour, but I maybe something really creamy, but have some fruit in it as well, would be okay. Yeah, this is a tough one. I was not expecting this beer to be like this. Untapped comes in at 3.79 out of 457 ratings. That's not a whole heck of a lot of ratings, relatively speaking. The top three locations are the Beer Forum, in other words, the Beer Forum,
in Rome.
Nice.
In Rome.
Dogfish Head Brewing in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Or as Rehoboth likes to call it, the Rehoboth. Part of the Dagobah system. Mm-hmm. Also, Hoppy Days and San Benedetto del Tronto, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's somewhere. It's got to be.
Somewhere?
Somewhere in Canada. All right. Let's see. Oh, look, I got a map. I'm going to actually click on the map and see where this is. I have no clue. It's in Italy somewhere. Yeah, it's on the like the east coast of Italy. There you go.
There you go.
So, there you have it, folks. If you find this, you should grab it just for, I mean, it's one of those ancient ales, and this is the Italian brewery's version of it, and very different than the Dogfish Head, to say the least. Check it out. Like they said, you'll be tasting history. I also wanted to mention that the Beer Advocate users rate this an 88, which is very good.
Sometimes you have to go back in order to go forward.
Wow, Toby's getting deep here now.
Whoa.
I think I'm quoting Sam Calagione on that anyway, so.
And on that,
or like in Cars, you got to turn right to go left.
Alright.
And on that note, we'll be back before we go forward.
Oh! Julie Zisman says, this cheery flavored beer called Creerk, more like crack.
Alright, everybody, last call.
The last call,
you know.
It's a time for a last call.
Everybody's got to talk about their beers and talk about it.
Well, this is kind of odd that I'm... You know what? I'm not going to start first. So I'm going to throw it to...
Yeah?
Me. I'm going to talk first.
Dave.
Okay. The Birra Moretti La Rossa. You know, I was actually really surprised. I wasn't expecting much for this beer, you know, given that it's kind of the crafty mega brewery, I guess, out of Italy or... Whatever, it seems like you can get, you know, beer and ready.
Yeah, it's like it's the Miller.
Yeah. The crafty mega brewery.
It's not Blue Moon.
But, you know, I was surprised. It was actually really good. I mean, it went down real nice and smooth. It's got a nice, good sweetness to it. It seems to lend itself well to Italian or Italian-type food. So I actually enjoyed it. You know, I would actually probably drink it again if I saw it somewhere. You know, so I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
How about you, Toby?
For the Amarcord Bionda, I like the laid backness of it compared to a lot of other either American Belgian styles or just regular Belgian beers. I had nice flavors. It was very drinkable. There wasn't really anything missing. I kind of wanted a little bit more, but I do like the fact that it is pretty laid back and delicate, and you know. So I think I'm gonna go with the 4. I think it's good. I would get it again. It was $10 for that bottle, so not too bad. But yeah, I mean, it's good. Pretty solid. I mean, if for a blind tasting, I wouldn't go, you know, oh, this isn't. I would think that it was Belgian, you know.
So, anyway. Well, for me, first off, I want to say that I shouldn't be surprised by this. I mean, a country that's known for their wine, there shouldn't be any question that there's. Should be plenty of complexity in their beer, and I think both of these The complexity is pretty impressive. Very different, these two beers. The super was really strange. Like, there was a lot going on, and you could taste that it was a little higher in alcohol, but yet still stayed very drinkable. It didn't feel like it was this is going to be too much for me. Granted, even if I wanted more, I wasn't going to get it because it's only about 10 ounces in the bottle. But it was a very drinkable, bigger beer and a lot of complexity. I'm going to give it a 4. Pretty solid.
Cool.
For the Itresca, wow, is it sour. But all the... I like it. And now that it's warming up, I'm getting all kinds of different flavors. All the things I mentioned and more with all the sour apple and the musty citrus and pomegranate and honey. The same thing, the complexity. I mean, it does not disappoint in the complexity, in my opinion. Really interesting beer. I'm going to give this one a 4.5 if you like sours. If you don't, then don't pay any attention to my rating whatsoever.
He just dropped the deuce on it.
But yeah, like I said, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised that a country known for wine would make beers any less complex than what we have here. So,
well, from what I understand, the Italian craft beer scene has really blown up just in the last few years. I remember, I think we did a Hop Topic a few years ago, and we talked about that. About
how, and they were inspired by American craft brewers. I mean, I'm impressed. I want to try more. I like that some of the stuff is pulled back, but there's a lot going on. Any shout-outs?
Oh, I got a shout-out. I got a new friend on Untappd, so big up to Double H on Untappd. So
nice.
We're now friends with homies.
Cool, man.
Yeah, for Untappd shout-outs, I'll give a shout-out to Christian, Shane, Beer Dranker.
Beer Dranker?
It's beer as in German beer, B-I-E-R, beer drinker. Tony Satch, Melissa M, and Bill Harrell. Fredo Indias, Con Air, Taylor Corser, Philip M, Jeff, and Derek.
Cool. Well, I'm going to give a quick shout out to Banner Brewing Company from last week. They gave me a shout out of their own on Twitter. So I'm giving them a shout out back. I want to give a shout out to Sean the Beer Guy, Beer Disciples, Corey McMahon, Manor Hill Brewing, and Sherry, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce her last name. And also Nick Teresiano for adding me to the Beer Bloggers Conference list. Thanks.
Wait. BBC 14, Roger?
Yeah. I'll be going to that. Not too long. It's right around the corner. Before we know it, we'll be in San Diego drinking beers.
With a bunch of other geeks like us talking about beers, blogging about beers,
it's gonna
learning
be crazy.
About beers.
Yeah, it's going to be like geeky beer overload.
Lots of people with their phones and laptops out in front of them checking in on Untappd.
Oh, you won't believe what it's like, dude.
Yeah.
And tweeting.
Yep.
Lots of tweets, lots of blogging, lots of untapping, lots of this, lots of that.
Well,
all kinds of shenanigans.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed the Beer Coasters World Tour, Italy, for the Italian edition. And remember, I wish I could say this in Italian, it'd be really cool, but this is your show. We're just drinking in it.
Salute!
Salute.
And we're trying to stick with the Mediterranean type thing, so maybe next week we'll still be Mediterranean? We'll see.
Maybe we'll still be on the Riviera somewhere. Who knows?
The Riviera.
What?
That's Mexico, eh? Dude. That's the Mexican Riviera.
No, no. No.
That's an Italian Riviera.
The Mexican Riviera. See, leave it to a Southern California to think the Riviera is in Mexico.
Being that I'm from Southern California, we have like a big naval presence. They always talked about like the Med, like, oh, we're going to the Med. They're going on Westpac or the Med. It was one of the two, you know. They never talked about no Riviera. If you say you're going to the Riviera, you're going to...
You're going to go be sipping on some wine if you're going to the Riviera. There's the French Riviera. There's the Italian Riviera.
That's oh, right. By the way, Mike, I got something for you here.
Oh, we can do France.
What? It's what? A picture of the Mexican Riviera?
No. Here it is.
Questo è il vostro show, erano solo bevendo in esso.
Nice.
There you go.
What it's very said. Nice.
What she said.
Ciao. She said,
this is your show. We just drinking it.
Ciao.
Ciao. Till next week when we try to pronounce Grecian things.
Is it Greece? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Something. Who knows?
Cheers.
Cheers. Salute.